Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
And I'm Rachel Bomberger, sitting in for Sarah Gulseth.
What a nice sound that. A nice bubbly, perky personality here
I'm
in studio.
I'm trying to
channel
poor Sarah.
Channeling your Sarah's energy.
Who's ill and can't be here.
Oh, I feel so bad for her. It did not sound good, but well, she'll be back in studio hopefully tomorrow. It sounds like things were getting a little better, I'm hoping. But we have, this is right up your alley, we have a Lutheran Witness article. Are you familiar
Excellent.
With the Lutheran Witness?
I've heard of it.
I want to talk to our guest here, but before we get to our guest, how do you find the Lutheran Witness? There are a couple of ways you can read it. You can get like the hard copy of it. Obviously, that's like
yes.
the traditional way that we've been doing for how many years now?
130-ish.
Wow.
Yeah.
You haven't been doing that for 130. If you have, you hide it very well.
Yes, I am well preserved. Our people who want to read the magazine, and I suggest you do, because we put a lot of work into it, and I'm pretty proud of what we do.
It's great stuff.
Visit cph.org/witness. You can subscribe to the print, and also, if you're a digital person, they have a digital edition as well that is available. You can also visit our blog at witness.lcms.org to get a little taste of what we do. You won't get all the good stuff, because that goes in the magazine, but you'll get an idea mm-hmm. of Lutheran Witness content.
There's kind of like a featured article on the online.
Right. Yes.
Version.
We put up a selection of content.
You mentioned the digital version. Turning the page is on the digital edition is so different than turning the page on like a paper edition.
Yeah, it's more like reading an ebook.
Yeah.
So yes, you press a button and it pretends to turn the page for you.
It's fun. Learning something new, learning how to turn a digital page. You know, we can learn something new from little ones. At least that's what Leslie says. Leslie Gardner, she's office manager at Trinity Lutheran Church in Mount Vernon, Washington. And she and pastor there get to greet the little ones at in their early childhood program there. Leslie, thanks for joining us on the Coffee Hour this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your work at Trinity Lutheran Church in Mount Vernon. What do you love about what you get to do at Trinity?
Well, my main job is I'm the office manager, so I do the bulletins, the newsletters, answer the phone, work with the church members. But one of my favorite things to do is greet the little kids in the morning. Me and the pastor get to talk to them. They say hello to us, wave at us, and tell us all sorts of things that are on their mind and bring us joy.
And what you shared in your article this month is some of the joys and the observations that you've had from interacting with the little ones. What is it that stood out most as you began interacting with the little ones in the morning?
Well, their joy really stood out at me. Like, lots of times you'll see adults and they'll naturally start complaining or they'll talk about some things that are bothering them with their life, but the kids rarely ever talk like that. They'll walk in there, start telling me all about the great things they've done or going to do, all the things they have. Like, they'll show me their lunchbox, their backpacks, all that stuff. What's funny is they'll show me the same things over and over again throughout the year, and they still are just as joyful as the first time they told me about it. Great.
So another aspect I especially appreciated you in the article brings out is a child's capacity for forgiveness, and more than that, forgiveness and forgetness, which we as adults really struggle with. How do you see that play out in the preschool classroom?
That amazes me. I remember the first time I saw that two little kids were playing and then one pushed the other one out of the way and they both started crying. And me and some of the other adults were trying to console them. And I swear within a couple of minutes, they're out playing again in the playground. And I was just so impressed at how fast they put that behind each other. It was just so inspiring to me.
And they were back to being joyful and finding the joy in all the little things, the things that keep coming up again. It's the same playground, but they're still excited about it. It's like it's
yes,
a new playground every day.
And laughing again.
You mentioned how it's different from what we might do as adults. Sometimes in our initial conversation as adults, we go right to the complaints. Some of the best advice I've ever gotten about conversations, especially in the church office, was from the church secretary. And she said she learned early on to ask, "What can we do for you?" rather than "How are you?"
That is good advice.
And I had to think about it for a minute, and I realized we as humans sometimes go right for the negative. Oh, well, this hurts, and that's broken, and that doesn't work. And I was like, what can we do to you? It gets right to, how can we help you in focusing on serving one another? Mm-hmm. But with the little ones, you certainly can say, "How are you today?" And they always have a story to share with you. And mm-hmm. they always have something. You'd mentioned, another example in your article about a little one was so excited about the vacation they took and how that's different mm-hmm. from how adults sometimes might speak about traveling. What was it that the little one said about their family vacation?
Yes, she came in after Christmas break, I think, and she came in smiling like always, and I asked her, "How was your Christmas break?" And she starts rambling about her family vacation, and suddenly she burst into, "We got to go in an airplane!" She was waving her hands around. She looked like she was so excited. I was so impressed with that, and I just was so inspired by how she was excited about the miracle of flight, where lots of adults, like including myself, will go into complaining about how frustrating the flight was, how long it was. I just thought that was really great.
I was packed into a row with five other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had to sit and wait. Our flight was delayed. All of those things that we think about as adults. How has this, 15 minutes in the morning interacting with the little ones, how does that then impact the rest of your day as you serve Trinity Lutheran Church?
It helps me see things with joy and observe the little things that I may or may not have seen. It helps me see all the blessings and just look at things with a more innocent, joyful heart.
So, What advice would you give to people who maybe don't have that opportunity to interact with dozens of adorable children every morning to shape their day going forward? How can we have the heart of a child even if we don't have that experience?
Well, you can always seek out little children to see, but if you don't have that opportunity, I would say just reflect on the Word and read things about children or joy and just reflect on yourself and think about a daily, kind of reflect on what you're thankful for, the blessings, try to notice and just make a point of trying to observe things that are in your life that are to be thankful for.
I love that you said that because it reminds me of the way that my 4-year-old at home prayed for a while. She would make her requests in the form of thanksgiving. "We're going to, you're going to pray for Grandpa to get better." And she would pray, "Dear Lord, thank you for making Grandpa better." and the perspective that she had and shared with me, okay, I'm going to pray with such confidence that God will answer my prayer that I can go ahead and say thank you now.
That's great.
And I thought about that when you said what you did about keeping that mindset, even if you are not surrounded by little children who, can bring it to your heart every day.
Mm-hmm. And you pointed out that, sure, kids aren't always joyful every moment of the day. They have their bumps and bruises. They have their meltdowns. And we as adults have those too. But what was different about, what did you learn about little ones and how they were different in their meltdowns or their bumps and bruises as to how adults handle their meltdowns or bumps and bruises?
Yes, I've definitely seen their share, especially the first couple of weeks when the kids come in, I see them crying or in the timeout in the preschool director's office, things like that. I would say the main difference is they get past it faster for the most part. I feel like adults tend to hang on to grudges or hang on to anger, where kids can be upset for a little while, but then pretty soon they're out playing and they remember what they're joyful about again.
Do you ever find during a stressful day that you just step out of the office and go find the kids?
I have done that for an excuse sometimes, yes.
Go and find the little ones and just observe what they're doing or interact with them and just think about Play-Doh for a few minutes.
I'll make up excuses to walk down the hall and I'll hear them talking. It makes me smile, yes.
Or have some snack time. It's amazing what conversations can happen during snack time with little ones.
Yes, and hearing their prayer for lunch is always inspiring too.
just such a simple, I guess, a simple look at the blessings that we have in life. Have you seen others who have observed this as well? And you mentioned that the pastor's with you in the morning as well with greeting the little ones. How's that? How do you think that's impacted him?
I think it impacts him in the same way. He has even more time with them, actually, because he does chapel time with them. So I see him go with his little picture books and story time down there, and he'll tell me how they were listening and or not listening and getting inspired by him. It's cute.
So it's an encouragement to him and in his vocation as well. Any other advice to the rest of us as well as we carry on our duties? Any other words of encouragement?
Just keep looking at things with a joyful heart and try to look like a child would.
Leslie, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour. Thanks for your article this month in this May issue of the Lutheran Witness as well. It was an encouragement, and I smile a little bit, and it made me think about what opportunities can I seize to spend some time with the little ones. I have a 4-year-old, so I have plenty of time with the little ones, but also with other ones, you know, with other little ones as well. Can I help out in the classroom more? Can I, you know, what can I do to find those opportunities and maybe look at things from the little one's perspective? Thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Rachel, it has been a joy to have you in studio, and thanks for jumping in while Sarah was out not feeling well. And I always love highlighting these stories on the Lutheran. It just so happened to coincide with Sarah being sick that we had these two Lutheran Witness stories this week, and we'll have some more, I'm sure, coming in the days ahead.
I hope you will.
How do you connect with people like Leslie to hear their stories? Do you have like some sort of like magical device or like, you know, really high tech device to get these stories?
It's called email. No, I had never met Leslie before we worked on this story together. She just sent a query to witness@lcms.org, said, I know you're doing this issue on children, and you know, I've got an interesting perspective on it. What do you think? And I looked at it and I thought, well, yes, I think we need this in the magazine. Mm-hmm. And so we worked together on it to pull it together.
What are the upcoming themes or topics on The Witness?
Oh, we are right now. I'm always 3 months ahead. Mm-hmm. So working on August, poverty, possessions, and generosity. Mm. In September, we'll look at time. In October, we'll look at ministry. And then coming November, State of the Synod. Always a good time. So.
I'm impressed you know that far ahead.
I kind of have to. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a magazine.
Well, thanks so much for jumping in. It has been a fun coffee hour with you. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Rachel Bomberger.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. The listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.